Good morning. Like Kyle said, I'm Jeremiah. It's a privilege to be here, and I want to thank Pat and Kyle for allowing me to preach here. It's an honor, and it's a weighty responsibility to come here and share the gospel with you guys. As we know, the theme of today is healthy Christianity. And as I was praying and trying to decide on what to preach on and teach on, I wavered between a couple topics. Kyle knows I was thinking of like studying to prove, to show yourself approved. How it's important for every Christian to study the Word of God, to study theology, and to grow in their knowledge. But it became clear throughout my praying and throughout different areas of my life that remembering the gospel is the true foundation of a healthy Christian. That the gospel must remain centered in my thoughts, actions, and my studies and every other area of my life. The way I treat my wife and my child needs to be reflected by the gospel. I soon realized that in order for me to have a healthy relationship with Jesus, let alone everyone else in my life, I must remember the gospel. I cannot forget the gospel. In order for me, in my minor role at New Hope, to ensure that the church as a whole continues pursuing Christ, continues to grow in sanctification and unity within the church, I must remember to remind my church to remember the gospel. The gospel must continue to be preached, and believers must continually be reminded of the beauty of the gospel. So this morning, I want to urge you to remember the gospel and to continuously meditate on it, to preach the gospel to yourself. I want to encourage you not to forget the beauty, the wonder, and the glory of the gospel. Now, I'll do this by asking and answering three questions. The first question will be, what is the gospel? In order to remember the gospel, we must be reminded of what it is in the first place. Why do we still need the gospel? If we're already saved, if we've already believed the gospel at a moment of conversion, why do we still need it? I think Travis made it very clear this morning why we need the gospel. And then finally, how do we remember the gospel? So before I continue, let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you for giving me the opportunity and the privilege of preaching the gospel today. Thank you for allowing us to gather and to look at how to be a healthy Christian, how to live a healthy Christian life and pursue you more and more. Lord, I pray that today I step out of your way and that I let my pride go to the wayside so that people can see the cross and your glory. Lord, I pray that today and the rest of this week you are glorified above all else, and that your church is edified and built up. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the message that there is forgiveness, grace, and mercy found at the cross. Found in Jesus Christ, who did not count equality with God to be something to be grasped, but he emptied himself and took the form of a man. And he humbled himself to the point of death on the cross. This Jesus lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He bore our sins and our transgressions and shame. And he was buried for 3 days. And he rose again victorious. This gospel, as Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Ephesians 2, as we looked at earlier today, tells us the gospel. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. This is the gospel. This message is the power of God for salvation. It is the avenue in which God has ordained and designed his people to be saved and receive faith. It is powerful and effective when believed. The gospel is the theme of the Bible. Throughout the scriptures, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, we see the theme of redemption. We see the truth of the gospel. We read the first promise and prophecy of redemption in Genesis 3:15. That immediately after the fall, God shows us that there will be redemption. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Immediately after the fall, God proclaims that he will provide a redeemer and a savior to crush the head of the deceptive serpent. God reveals that he will provide the sacrifice by providing the ram instead of Isaac. The lamb's blood painted on the door frame of the Hebrews during the last plague of Egypt signified our salvation, and the pouring of the blood of Jesus that covers us and spares us from the wrath of God. Isaiah talks about the suffering servant. Exodus shows us the deliverer through Moses. Throughout all of the Bible, I can go on and on and on and show example after example of the gospel being central. But the fact is, without the gospel, there is no point for Scripture. The gospel is central to knowing who God is. Without the gospel, we do not see how God can be merciful and just. We cannot see the righteousness of God. We cannot see the love and mercy of God without the gospel. The gospel is central to receiving salvation. How else are we to be saved unless we hear and respond in faith to the good news of Christ? How else do we understand the scriptures without understanding the gospel? The gospel shows the faithfulness of God to his people of ancient days. It shows us how he could be faithful to David and forgive David of his sins. And it proves his faithfulness to us today. God is faithful to save us at the moment of conversion. And he is faithful to continue his salvific work in us through the continual remembrance of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the message of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. But why do we still need the gospel? Why do we need to remember the gospel in our day-to-day lives? How is remembering the gospel a mark of a healthy Christian? If the gospel is a message of salvation, why do we still need it after we've been saved? Isn't the gospel merely for evangelistic use and to preach to the lost? Is that only the reason why we have the gospel? Surely we as mature Christians can move on from the simplicity of the gospel and go on to heavier and weightier things like eschatology and soteriology. I mean, if I already believe the gospel, do I really need to remind myself day in and day out that Christ died on the cross for me? Shouldn't I be able to start debating whether the earth is 4,000 years old or 10,000 or a billion years old? Because after all, that's important too. Or shouldn't I be able to start debating the sign gifts, whether they are active or not today? Because that matters too, right? The fact is, none of that matters. None of that does anything for us if we forget the gospel. The gospel is not just a diving board into Christianity. The gospel is the glue, The gospel is the foundation for what we believe. The Christian never graduates to something more spiritual or deep than the gospel. We can add to what we study and believe, but we cannot remove the gospel. Sure, there are tons to study. You know, I'm in apologetics right now in school, and I can tell you scientifically that there is evidence for a creator, that the universe has a beginning and the universe has a cause, and that cause is God. I can tell you that there's scientific evidence that there is a designer and that the world we see is intelligently designed and that intelligent designer is God. But that does not matter if I forget the gospel. I can tell an atheist that, but it does not change his heart. The gospel changes his heart. Knowing how God created the world does not sanctify me. It does not make me any better. It does not make me grow in Christ. The gospel gives me sanctification. The gospel is how God sanctifies me. So to repeat, the gospel is not just a diving board into Christianity. The gospel is the glue. Now, as Paul would travel to different towns and cities, he preached one thing. He preached the gospel. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Christ Jesus and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul was unashamed of the gospel and its effective power to save. Paul, as well as the other New Testament authors, understood the impact of the gospel, understood the importance of the gospel. They realized that not only is the gospel the power to save the unrighteousness and the lost, but it is the power to continue to save the Christian today. Writing to Christians, James says in James 1:21, "Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." This implanted word is the gospel. It has been given to us. It has been implanted in our hearts and at the moment of our conversion. We receive and believe the gospel when we are saved, and we continue to follow it day in and day out. And that we let it mold us as we are being saved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses the gospel to guide, to sanctify, to correct, convict, teach, and encourage us. The gospel is not only a one-and-done message when we hear it, when we convert, when we hear the preacher preach the gospel and say, "Repent, and I believe it, and I repent, and I no longer need it." No. The gospel is to be preached daily to us. The Holy Spirit preaches the gospel to us daily. The Christian is justified once and for all by receiving and believing the gospel of Christ. But the Christian is also being sanctified by continually remembering the gospel of Christ. And the Christian will be glorified one day by continuing to remember and trust the gospel of Christ. The gospel is foundation. The gospel is our identity, without which we have no hope. The gospel is needed today because without the gospel, we are distracted, deceived, and lose our way. We are not content in our life without the gospel. The gospel is the foundation to everything else that we believe and do as Christians. Why do I believe that the church is important? Because without the gospel. The gospel tells me that I've been bought and adopted into the family of God, and that the church is the family of God. You want to live a healthy Christian life? Remember the gospel. You don't want to live a healthy Christian life? You want to live like a nominal Christian or someone who just claims to be a Christian but has no fruit? Forget the gospel. You want to grow closer to Christ? Remember the gospel. You want to break free from sin and live in freedom? Preach the gospel to yourself every day. In fact, that is what the Holy Spirit does in you. The Holy Spirit does not remind us what a theophany is, or what eschatology or soteriology is correct, and what to believe. He doesn't do this in our time of need. He doesn't remind us of deep theological things when I am doubting, or when I am neck deep in temptation, or when I am questioning whether or not I should still continue living, or if I am doubting whether or not I am saved. He doesn't remind me how old the earth is. He reminds me what Christ did on the cross. He doesn't tell us whether Jesus is coming back before the tribulation, or after the tribulation, or after the millennial reign of Christ. He doesn't tell us that. He doesn't tell us when the rapture is going to happen, when I am needing comfort. He tells me the gospel. He doesn't tell us that the world will get better when we look at the darkness. He tells us that the light has come, and that light is Jesus Christ. He doesn't make us feel better by telling us we're perfect the way we are. He reminds us of our sin, and that our sin has been paid for by the blood of Christ. When we are struggling and in need of rescue, the Holy Spirit uses the gospel to remind us that we have been bought with the blood of Christ and are being conformed to his image. It is the assurance of the gospel's power that encourages us. Nothing sustains me more than realizing that I have been bought, paid for, and sustained by Christ. Nothing comforts me more than knowing that when I am in Christ's hands, nothing can take me out of it. Romans 8, like especially the last part, is my favorite passage of the Bible because it's a comfort to me knowing that I have been bought by Christ. And because I've been bought by Christ, I am his forever. That's a comfort in my need. That is a comfort when I am tempted. That is a comfort when I am depressed. The gospel spurs us on. When I fall for temptation, the Holy Spirit does not tell me to pick myself up by my bootstraps and dust myself off. It's not like in baseball when I get hit by a pitch, I get up and I'm just told walk to the first base. No. When I fall down, when I fall into temptation, the Holy Spirit points me back to the cross because that is where my salvation lies. He reminds me that my sins have been paid for and to walk in freedom. You want to walk in freedom? Preach the gospel to yourself. Do not forget the gospel. The gospel is needed for sanctification. We will sin less and grow in righteousness more the more we remember and focus on the gospel. When we focus on the price that was paid for our sins, we will realize how detestable our sins are. And we will go towards the love of Christ. When we remember how much God loves us, we will love him more and we'll want to please him more. The gospel is also the glue by which we bond as the family of God. All of us are here today for one reason. I was asked to come and deliver a message, but that's not why I'm here. Alex and Aubrey were asked to lead worship, but that's not why they're here. Patrick and Kyle did not create this conference just to have a conference. We're here because of the love of Christ. We're here because we are bounded together by the gospel. We are here for the love for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. But for many of us, if we're honest, we would not be in the same room together if it was not for Christ. Alex and I probably would not be friends at first, if it was for any other reason but the gospel. But we met because of our love for Christ. I would not have known Kyle if it was not because the gospel has brought us together. The gospel unites us together into one brotherhood, into one family. The gospel reminds us that we have been adopted into the same family. And when we remember that, we strive for unity within our church. We strive for unity within the whole body of Christ, not just at Turner's Chapel or New Hope, but together. With the gospel as our lifeblood, we have a healthy view of the church and of each other, and we realize that it would be insane to shoot ourselves in the foot or cut off our arm because of some difference of opinion. If it was not for the gospel, we would not be here today. If it was not for the gospel, we could not sit in the same room together and have differing opinions and seek unity. If I realized that Kyle was bought and covered by the same blood of Christ that I was, I will do everything I can to not only protect the unity between our relationship, but also push him on further and further towards Christ. Remember, the gospel fosters unity and brotherhood within the church. Remembering the gospel will also spur us on to show grace and forgiveness to those who wrong us. Just yesterday, so I'm a manager at Food Lion, and just yesterday, one of my guys just tore into me. You know, I told him that I made a mistake. I said that he could have a specific week off, but I forgot that another guy already requested it off. And I was going to try to make men's meet. I was trying to give him another week. He tore into me. It was very easy for me before Christ to just go at it. It's very easy for me, even now, to let my temper blow up and just make things worse. But the gospel reminds me that I am a sinner. I am a sinner. And that it was my sin that caused Jesus to go to the cross. That it was my sin that Jesus bled and died for. And if he forgave me for all my sins, for all my blasphemy, then how could I not just let it go off my back? How could I not just let this fellow Christian just tear into me and just show grace? If God forgave me for so much, I can forgive so little. Does that make sense? If God shows me so much grace, then showing a little amount of grace for something so minor should not be a problem for me. But the gospel reminds me of that. Without the gospel at the forefront of our thoughts, it is painstakingly easy for us to give evil back to evil. It's very easy for me to lose my temper with my wife. It's very easy for me to get annoyed with my son. It's very easy for me to get annoyed with my brother. But the gospel reminds me that there is grace to be found. And if I found grace in Christ, and if I say I'm a little Christ, because that's what Christian means, then how can I not show grace? The gospel gives us understanding of all scriptures. We can read Leviticus and see Christ in it. We can read the book of Numbers and see Christ in it. We can read Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Malachi. We can read any book of the Bible and see the gospel. And we can understand it. We are able to see how it all points to the cross and victory over sin. We can see why Noah's father said, "Surely this will give us rest." Because they're looking for the serpent crusher. We can see how David is a Christ-like figure because he points us to Christ. The gospel enables us to worship God freely and wholeheartedly in gratitude and love for what he has done for us. Without the gospel, "He will hold me fast" has no meaning to us. Without the gospel, there is no point to sing these songs. But with the gospel, we see how true it is. The gospel enables us to unashamedly pray bold prayers, because as the author of Hebrews wrote, we have a high priest that is eternally interceding on our behalf and has offered the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. The gospel enables us to do the works of God. James is clear, the people that truly believe the gospel will do the works of God. They will feed the hungry, they will clothe the sick, they will sit with the hopeless, they will comfort the depressed, they will house the homeless. They will not only meet the spiritual needs, but also the physical needs of the people around them. It is very easy for us as believers, especially if we've been Christians for a long time, to grow complacent and forget the gospel. And in doing so, we become hearers and not doers. We become forgetters of what the gospel calls us to do. But James 1, 22 through 24 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like." Now, I can look at the mirror for 5 hours. I can stare at myself all day, but as soon as I turn away for a moment, I forget something about my appearance. I forget something about how I look. I've looked at a mirror so many times in my life, I don't know how many times. I can't tell you. I know it's more than 10. I look at myself when I walk past a car with tinted windows, just to see what I look like, to see if my beard's okay, to see if I finally have some hair. But why do I keep looking at myself? Why do I keep looking at a mirror? Should I not remember now what I look like? Once should be enough. But no matter how often we look at ourselves in the mirror, we forget what we look like. And there is no change. There is no comfort. There is no assurance. No true certainty that the way I look in the morning is how I'm going to look like in the evening. There's no comfort in knowing that how I look today is how I'm going to look tomorrow, so I have to look in the mirror when I wake up. Likewise, the person who hears the gospel and who forgets it, but only hears it, have not embraced the gospel. One commentator wrote, "Those who fail to do the word, who are hearers only, are guilty of a dangerous and potentially fatal self-delusion. If the gospel by nature contains both saving power and summons to obedience, those who relate to only one have not truly embraced the gospel." Remembering the gospel ensures us that we do the both and of the gospel, that we both believe the gospel and we do what it says. The gospel says both listen and believe and also do. Jesus tells Peter at the campfire after the resurrection, "Love me and feed my sheep." Jesus does not just say, "Love me and believe me," but he also says, "Feed my sheep. Care for my sheep. Take care of them. Lead them." He also says in Luke 11, 28, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Hear and keep. Believe and do. The only way for us to do both is by constantly reminding ourselves of the gospel. If you are not doing something for the gospel, if you are not living out the commands of God, the commands of Jesus that says, "Love one another as I have loved you," then perhaps you have forgotten the gospel. Remember the gospel and do the works of Christ. So to close, how do we remember the gospel? I want to provide a few practical and tangible ways for us to do so. One, listen to gospel-centered music. To listen to gospel-centered worship music like "He Will Hold Me Fast," "How Deep the Father Loves Us," whatever. Just listen. There are some powerful bands, well, wonderful bands and artists that are creating amazing and powerful worship music that's not self-centered, but is centered on the gospel. And it reminds us day in and day out that we've been bought by the precious blood of Christ. It's amazing how often that these songs like "He Will Hold Me Fast" or "Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery" or "My Worth Is Not My Own" comes to my mind when I am having a tough day. Now, I'm not saying these are scripture, but they help me remember who Christ is. They help me to remember to turn my eyes back to Christ and not what's going on at my work, not what's going on in my family, not what's going on in my life, but to focus wholly and only on Jesus. These songs help shift my focus off of the problems of this nation and of the world and how many people are dying all across the world, and helps me to remember who Christ is. Number two, this is going to sound weird at first. Go outside and watch a sunrise and a sunset. The sun setting proves God's faithfulness to us and his grace to us by seeing the day to a completion. The sunrise does the same by giving us another day to enjoy life. Let it be a reminder to us that God is faithful to us, to hold us and safely and secure in his hands. If God has given a common grace such as that, he has given us even more grace in Christ. 3, surround yourself with Christian friends. Some of the greatest blessings I have are my friendships with Kyle and Alex. They are an encouragement to me and constantly point me back to the gospel, constantly reminds me of who I am in Christ. I remember one time Alex and I sat down because I was just going through it. I did something stupid, and it was affecting just my life as a whole. And Alex didn't tell me I'm okay. Alex didn't tell me that I just need to move on and forget it. He reminded me of the grace of Christ and reminded me that I have been forgiven. And because I have been forgiven, not to live like I was. Not to keep on doing what I was doing, but to pursue Christ again. Surround yourself with people that will help keep the gospel centered in your life. I've heard it once, you are the average of your 5 top friends. Which means, if you have your 5 closest friends, you are the average of them. Their personalities affect you. Surround yourself with people who love the gospel and who love you enough to push you towards the gospel and remind you of the gospel. And finally, practice the spiritual disciplines. Read your Bible. See how the gospel is on every page of your Bible, from beginning to end. Pray. Pray for God to show you the gospel in your life and evaluate your life. And in closing, something I like to do when I preach is to do like a little benediction and then pray. So I'm going to read from Jude. Jude 17 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share the gospel and to show the importance of it. Lord, I pray that we do not forget your word, that it is only by grace that we have been saved, and it is through your grace that we continue to live in you. Lord, help us to remember the gospel in our times of need, to remember that you have bought us by your blood and you hold us in your hands. Lord, let that be a comfort to us. Lord, I pray that you be with us the rest of this time, that you continue to show us more of who you are and to show us how to live a healthy Christian lifestyle. In Jesus' name, amen.